All right, right now I want to introduce you to somebody who's really, really fun. Abby Cohut. Now, that name may ring a bell with you because Abby is known on the web as Absolutely Abby. She's the president of Staffing Symphony, LLC, and the author of Absolutely Abby, 101 Job Search Secrets. Abby's on a mission. She wants to help 1 million job seekers, and she's currently driving around the United States on a nationwide tour to accomplish that goal, and Metrocon is very lucky to have her as a guest speaker October 22nd at the Arlington Convention Center. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen there, there's a link to the website for Metrocon. But in the meantime, we are lucky because we have Abby with us right here in the flesh. Welcome to the program, Abby Cohut.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Now, you're responsible for helping to hire about 10,000 people in 8 industries and all careers over the past 20 years or so. So you really, really, really have got some great tips for us. What are some of the things that you're planning to cover when you speak to the engineers at Metrocon?
Well, I have 2 topics, actually. One of them is about how to expose the hidden job market. And right now, there are so many jobs available, but people don't know about them, and that is the hidden job market. So I'm going to be teaching people how to find those elusive hidden jobs. But for those people that are not job seekers, I'm going to be teaching people that are either introverts or people that really just don't like to network. I'm going to be teaching them how networking can be fun as well as easier than you think. So people need to come see either one or both of those presentations.
All right. I'm so excited to hear about that. It's going to be lots of fun to hear your inside secrets and without giving away all of the things that you're going to be talking about. Can you give us a kind of an insight about this hidden job market? I mean, I would think that people that are looking for employees are putting the word out just everywhere that they want to hire somebody. But you say there's a hidden market. Are these good jobs or are these little obscure things like, pulling weeds and that sort of stuff?
No. So you think that employers want to tell everybody about their open jobs, but what they really want to do is they want to get referrals from people in the industry. And so they're not necessarily putting up ads for a variety of reasons. So like one of the reasons is that they don't want their competition to know that they're looking for someone. So if let's say they have a vice president job open, let's say it's VP of engineering, They don't necessarily want their competition to know that they have an opening for the VP of engineering job. So that would be a reason why they wouldn't blast it all over the place. So jobs are very much available. The economy is definitely back and plenty of jobs. The problem is that you don't necessarily know about each and every job that's open because they're not advertised everywhere. So I'm going to be teaching people a bunch of secrets of ways to find those hidden jobs.
So the old adage that it's who you know that counts is really important, and if someone is not networking on a regular basis, then they don't have any way of knowing what jobs are available. Is that the point you're going to be making?
That is exactly the point. Networking is more important now than it has ever been in my lifetime. It is huge, and it's not just networking live, it's also networking online using social media, etc. But you have to be everywhere. Just like employers, in theory, have to be everywhere, but they're not everywhere. They're just like telling people about their jobs, and you have to be everywhere so you can meet the people that know about these jobs.
Well, now, by being everywhere, you're suggesting then that people attend trade shows. I guess that's it, or other functions, or what do you mean?
Yeah, no, everywhere, including conferences, trade shows, including networking groups. There are tons of job search networking groups in the Dallas area. So you should be going to all of those groups to meet other job seekers. There are trade associations, so like IEEE has meetings, etc. You need to keep going out, leaving your house, and meet more people. You can even go to, let's say you have a hobby, like let's say you happen to be a Star Trek fan. you might as well go to a Star Trek meetup, and it's not going to be to find a job, it's to just enjoy talking about Star Trek. But when you're there, you might bump into somebody who's working at your ideal company, and that's the whole point about the hidden job market.
Okay, so just working the phones is not enough. We need to get out of the house and circulate and glad hand people and see them, look them in the eye and see them firsthand, because that's more powerful than the telephone. Is that's what you're stressing?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't do the telephone work, but you should get out of your house and go meet some other people and also do some phone work. But that's less of an issue right now. It's got to be getting out, meeting people, and I'm going to teach you how to do that in both of those sessions.
Okay, good. Now, you've interviewed a lot of job seekers over the years. Do you have a particular one in mind, or more in mind of that were so bad that you can't forget them, and you would warn people not to do the same things?
I have an entire presentation about that. That's how many things I have. But I'll give you a few of them.
Okay.
So one of them is, do not come into the office and plug your cell phone into my wall. Yeah.
Oh. Plug my cell phone.
Somebody did that.
They plug their cell phone into your wall.
That's right. That's what they did.
Their phone was run down, and they thought they were going to get an important call.
Yeah.
Or
that's it. That's exactly it.
That's pretty
so
rude.
That's just one. But I have many. Okay, so the other one is, if you're going to take notes during the interview, you need to ask permission to take notes, especially if you're an engineer. You might be interviewing for a company, and they might be telling you some proprietary information, so they don't want you to write it down. So they might say, no, I don't want you to take notes. But let's say they do let you take notes. One of the things you have to be careful of is you can't write on the top of your notes, this person is really ugly, because at the end of the interview, they might just confiscate your notes.
Ah.
That actually happened to two people that I know.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, what a gag
yes.
that would be. Oh, wow. You're giving us some great juicy stuff here.
Yeah, I'm full of these things, full of these little tidbits.
I can imagine there's been probably lots of mistakes made in the interview session. I heard one person tell me one time that he stood at the desk and did not be seated and wasn't asked to be seated, and he stood for the longest time, and finally the person behind the desk says, you may sit down. And later on he was hired, and he was told that was one of the things that they looked for, to see that the person did not automatically grab the chair without being invited to do so. Have you heard similar things to that?
Wow. You know, what's so funny is I heard about this just last week, and not that story, but I heard that people need to be invited to sit down. I've never heard that before. I mean, I've never heard it, but I've never thought about it as a recruiter, that I usually invite people to sit down. But it's kind of weird. Like, I'm not as formal about those kinds of things. You know, I wouldn't think anything of it if somebody just sits down in the chair. Because when I walk into the office, there's a chair. They know where I'm sitting. They know where they're sitting. It would seem like they can just sit there. But I guess the problem with recruiting and job seeking is that there are very, very few facts about the whole situation. And so you really have to go with your gut feeling. When you hear advice on certain things, you have to decide, does this make sense? And if it does, then go with it. Like, this particular point, I think, makes a lot of sense, that you probably shouldn't sit down because someone might get offended by that.
Well, yeah, just assuming that they want you to stay. It's the same thing when we see people invite themselves to another person's table in a restaurant. And I'm an old-timer, and probably have a few more years on you, but back in my time, the person doing the interviews would often invite to lunch and would notice what the person drank for lunch. You know, if a person had a drink, and then what kind of a drink that person had, because they were going to be expected to be at cocktail parties at some other time, and wanted to be sure that person didn't give the company a bad name. I think that's probably changed now, don't you suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would never suggest that anybody have a drink at an interview, ever. So, because, you know, once you have a drink, you're not quite all there, potentially. So I would never suggest that you do that, and I would always suggest that you not eat spaghetti or something that can get you messy.
Yeah, I could imagine so. Good spaghetti all over that. I imagine so. Good spaghetti all over that nice tie or that nice blouse or something. That's probably a pretty sloppy thing. Pretty sloppy.
I know. And I wouldn't even drink like a dark beverage because if it spills, you don't want it to get all over your nice suit. So I would avoid coffee and things like that. I would just have water.
Yeah. That's a great suggestion because always, you know, you go into these meetings and people say, would you like some coffee? And oftentimes you say yes. And maybe it's not so important in a meeting, but in a job interview, I can see where that would make a pretty big difference. You think the resumes are important? I mean, are there common mistakes that are made when people are doing their resumes?
Yeah, well, there's many mistakes, but one thing that people are confused about is how long a resume should be. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because there is no should. There's no one way to do a resume. There's not a president of resumes. There's no authority on resumes. So you have to make your own decision on what you would like on your resume. So many people are trying to shrink their resume to 2 pages, and when you're an engineer, you probably have a lot of things that you've done, like you've written publications, you've been involved with patents maybe, you've written programs, all kinds of things that you've done. And if you shrink your resume to 2 pages, you miss out on these wonderful keywords, which can be splashed all over your resume so that recruiters can actually find you. So I always tell people to not shrink their resume just because they think they should.
All right. Well, I'll take that as good advice. But I do recall a guy. In fact, I'll even mention his name because he became a very good friend of mine, Dashuan Feng. He's currently with a university in Taiwan. But this was a number of years ago. I asked him for his resume on a particular project that we were doing. He submitted to me 16 pages. 16 pages.
Yeah.
I was really taken aback because I gave it to my secretary and I said, would you look through there and see if there's a way we condense this down to a few paragraphs or something? Because we really want to be able to isolate where he fits in around here. And she couldn't do it, and I had to do it. And it was not an easy thing to do. I would suggest that maybe 16 pages is a little overkill.
Yeah, it is. But I know a lot of people in the pharmaceutical industry. And they also have the same thing with publications, patents, all of these things. And what they do is they put all that at the end. So this way, the first few pages, if someone wants a shorter resume, it's just really going to be the first few pages. So, I understand why 16 pages might be a lot. But I've seen resumes that long. I have. And it doesn't faze me anymore.
Is there some points that people have to be sure and always do, like look the interviewer in the eye and have a firm handshake? We kind of know those, but what are some of the other things that maybe we should be paying attention to?
Yes, definitely. Well, one thing that's really important is to show passion. And the only way you can show passion is to have passion, and because otherwise we're not going to believe you. So what I would say is, here's an example. Let's say that you want to go work for an airline. You're going to be an engineer at an airline. And you're sitting in the chair, you have the interview, and they say to you, why did you decide to come in today? Your answer should not be, I love the airlines. The airlines, it's just a wonderful thing. I just love the airport and I love all this. You know, you have to talk about Southwest Airlines in particular. So you can talk about your passion for the airlines. And I mention this because I have a passion for the airlines, so it's very familiar. So I would say, you know, I'm sitting in your chair because I love everything related to the airline industry. I love pilots. I love flight attendants. I love airports, airplanes. It's my hobby. But the reason I'm sitting in your chair is because you're Southwest Airlines and you're my very favorite airline. I do not fly with any other airlines. That's why I'm sitting in your chair.
Okay.
And that really shows my passion, because it's true. Isn't it? Doesn't it sound true?
Yeah, yeah, I remember, or I'd say it does sound true. I remember when I was a kid, my father admonished my brother, who at the time was working for General Motors, and he drove a Dodge. And my father says, you know, you shouldn't have that Dodge parked on the lot there of the General Motors building where you're going into your engineering. So
that's good. Yeah, I love that. And here's another tip that you just reminded me of, is that you should wear the colors of the company that you're interviewing for, because they subconsciously get the message that you're part of the team.
Wow. There's an angle, and that's a subtlety too. That's something that is not a glaring, it's just kind of a little offhand type of thing. A lot of little tricks.
Yeah.
And I guess to thoroughly familiarize oneself with the company when one is going in too, so one can talk authoritatively about why that particular company may fit the philosophy of the job seeker.
Right, exactly. And I mean, it's funny, because if you went into Walmart wearing a red shirt, they'd probably throw you out. And if you went into Target wearing a blue shirt, they'd probably throw you out.
Mm.
So it's subconscious. The same way you don't want to wear Nikes when you go to a meeting with Adidas.
Yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah, so the interviewer doesn't like you, but doesn't really know why he or she doesn't like you. It's just a bad impression, and it's just an uneasy feeling. That's interesting, too, the subtleties.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, here's another little tip, is that if you go into an interview and you see that the office is filled with Dallas Cowboys paraphernalia, you should talk about the Dallas Cowboys as soon as humanly possible. The only thing is, well, yeah, because what happens is people hire people they like.
Mm.
And so you know now that the person likes the Dallas Cowboys. The problem is that if you're sitting in someone's office and you don't know whether it's their office, you have to be very careful, because if they don't like the Dallas Cowboys and you start talking about the Dallas Cowboys, that's going to really hurt you. So you want to make sure you're in the right office.
Yeah, if there's no signs of any sports teams or anything in an office, it wouldn't be good to pipe up and say, gee, I love the Washington Redskins, because you don't know where that person's passions really lie. And you're probably going to want to avoid politics, too. You're not going to probably want to be criticizing the president or complimenting the president or congressman or anything else, because you don't know where their political views lie.
That's exactly right. I always tell people to be very careful with sports, religion, and politics, all three.
What about jokes? Is it a good idea to tell a joke or not?
No jokes, but you can be funny. So you could have a dry sense of humor and be sarcastic a little bit. That's okay. But you have to have, that should be your natural, like, I don't know if you could tell that I have one of those. But, I would definitely try to be funny during the interview, because that's my natural personality. But if that's not your natural personality, I wouldn't try to do anything different during an interview, because it's already stressful enough.
Well, you're funny in a very clever ways with the words that you use. I think you were complaining about the email monsters, that we're not getting my emails to you in a timely manner, and I thought that
yes,
was...
Yes, well, the monsters always eat my emails, so yes, I always talk about those monsters.
The monsters always eat your emails. Oh, my goodness. Abby,
yeah.
You got a problem if your monsters are eating your emails.
I know, they're eating them, but they don't eat all of them, just occasionally, so that's what happened with your email, but anybody else can try to send me an email, and we'll see how the monsters do.
What about a follow-up contact after the interview is over with? Is that a good idea, or is that bugging the interviewer?
No, you definitely want to follow up. You want to send a thank you letter to everybody that you interviewed with, and you want to make it personal and memorable.
A handwritten note in the U.S. mail, not an email. Is that right?
Well, no. You can actually go either way. You could go with an email or a handwritten note. The most important thing is to be fast.
Okay. The best gratitude is a prompt gratitude, is what you're saying.
That's it. Yeah, it has to be fast.
Yeah, I remember a quote paraphrase. The great publisher from the last century Pulitzer, who said that politeness is the cheapest form of capital that we have. I think that's how he put it.
Yeah.
And that if we give a very prompt and polite thank you, that is the cheapest form of capital that we can possibly get and gets us down the road further.
Yes, definitely. I would totally agree with that.
All right. Well, what have we missed? What are some of the other things that you're going to want to tease us with a little bit at the conference, or are we just about exhausted without giving away all your bag of tricks?
Oh, no. I haven't talked about practically anything I'm going to talk about at the conference, so everybody definitely needs to come and listen to me talk. But one thing that I'm definitely going to talk about is people that don't like to network, people that are afraid to network, and you've got to come because I'm going to teach you all kinds of ways to do it without being terrified.
Okay, so the fear of networking would also be the fear of appearing in public, I suppose, or engaging people. I remember, I'm telling a terrible story here, but I spent a lot of time in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Louis is a very cold city. In fact, as W.C. Fields made the comment one time, that the worst weeks in show business are Christmas week, Easter week, and a week in St. Louis. And I remember that I would get on an elevator, and everybody just looks straight ahead. No one says anything. It's all very quiet. And you travel the elevator, and it's all very quiet. So I moved to Dallas in 83, and I went out on a business call, and I got on an elevator, and someone looked at me and says, "Hey, how about them Cowboys?" And everybody in the elevator is talking and being friendly, and I just noticed a completely different business atmosphere in Dallas as to what I had found in St. Louis. I don't know that it's still that way, but yeah, there is a fear of networking. There's a fear of speaking up, and I think people get further when they do. I have absolute strangers speak to me all the time when I'm in the grocery store or standing in line somewhere or whatever. A smile and a kind word, I believe, goes a long way. And that's what you're going to be stressing?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be talking about how to network at the conference in particular, how to network at all conferences, and just how to network in general. But you got to make it easy for everyone, so you need to not be afraid, because you know what? I'm an introvert also, so it's not easy for me. So when I'm teaching everyone else, I'm going to be teaching myself at the same time.
Well, you certainly don't come across as an introvert. I mean, you really come across as somebody very, very much out there and quite extroverted. So you're able to hide it really good. I want to remind them, the listeners, that it's going to be October 22nd, the Arlington Convention Center. It's called MetroCon, MetroCon. It's a joint effort of Lockheed Martin and IEEE, and so there ought to be a lot of networking opportunities at the event. You can find out more about the event at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to MetroCon. And incidentally, absolutely, Abby is. If you want to give your website, Abby.
Yes, well, it's just absolutelyabby.com. However, I have a bonus for your listeners.
Okay.
If they are job seekers, if they go to meetabby.com. So it's M-E-E-T and ABBY.com. They will get a teleseminar on interviewing. It's called Interviewing Ingenuity. And if they go there, they can sign up, get that right before the event, and then they can come meet me at the event.
All right.
And learn more. Yeah.
Meetabby.com. MeetAbby.com. They can get the tips on interviewing and everything else. Did you say?
Yeah, interviewing. That's what it's all about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's great. Well, before we get out of here, do you have a view of the future? Where do you see the future? Is the job opportunities growing? Is America on the right track? What do you see 5 years, 10 years down the line?
Well, I would say 5 years, 10 years down the line, the resume is going away, and it's going to be replaced by social media. So people will have social media profiles, and they'll have videos of themselves. That's what I see is coming down the line. But in the meantime, you got to get your resume done. You got to have good interview skills, and you also have to make sure that you have good social media profiles set up. And I'll be telling people about that during my presentation as well.
Okay, so the future, the resume is going to go away, and it's going to be social media, and there's going to be videos. That means people are going to have to learn how to appear well on camera, and that is a whole nother science altogether. Will you be teaching people lighting and how to work the camera? Because, you know, the camera loves some of us and hates the rest of us, and it's a real hard thing to do to appear well on camera.
Yeah, it's not going to probably be my forte, but you never know what could happen in a few years, what I turn this into. But right now, I'm just teaching people what to say and what to write.
Well, I'm real excited to speak with you. It's going to be lots of fun. Diane said, you know, this is a science program, so Diane said, you know, would you be interested in talking to Abby? And I said, she's going to be at MetroCon? And Diane said, yeah. I said, well, yeah. I said, sure. You know, we're promoting MetroCon. And so Diane says, well, you know, engineers have to find jobs too. So
I would probably say my word of wisdom is eventually is now. That means sometimes in life you get thrown a curveball and you start going down a different road and you realize it's the wrong road, but it's time now to change it. It's time now to take control of your career and figure out what you really, really want to do and go for it. There's no time like the present.
Okay. Abby Cohut, well known on the web as Absolutely Abby. You can go to meetabby.com and get some very valuable information. She's going to be speaking at the Arlington Convention Center October 22nd at MetroCon, and that's a joint effort between Lockheed Martin and IEEE. You can find out more about MetroCon and get a link to their website at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. Abby, thanks so much for being with us today. It's been very valuable information, and we'll look forward to seeing you at MetroCon.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you're listening to the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason.